Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Good News, Bad News department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Really? Let's see. If the good news is that NPR has finally canceled us, the bad news would be, I can't think of anything, so I guess that's not it.
No, not even close. No. The good news is that a new scientific study shows that one of your favorite activities can actually help you live longer.
Smoking cigars?
No, that's never going to happen, ashtray breath. No, you ready for this? It's napping. Napping.
Really?
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
A large new study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine found that people who regularly took a siesta in the middle of the day were 37% less likely to die of heart disease. The study's author says that by reducing stress, naps could, quote, turn out to be an important weapon in the fight against coronary mortality.
Well, duh, I've known that for years. Why do you think I put that sofa next to my park bench? So what's the bad news out of all this?
Well, it's only really bad news for you, in fact.
Oh.
The study says that napping works best for men who, you ever ready for this? Work. They are 64% less likely to die from heart disease if they take a nap. The study didn't say anything about the work averse, which is what category you're in, I guess.
Yeah. Well, in the interest of science, I think it's time for another study.
Aha!
We should get Paul Merkey working on that grant proposal. Wait a minute. That would require work, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, that certainly would.
Then I guess we'll never know. Oh, well.
Well, anyway, if you're not ready for your siesta and you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Robert from Davis, California.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Robert.
Davis.
That's it.
Yeah, so what's up?
Well, I've got a 1990 Subaru, and I've got an intermittent overheating problem that I can't seem to fix, and I've tried all kinds of things, hoping you guys can help.
Of course we can.
Of course.
I knew you
we
could.
We are the world's foremost thermodynamicists. Do you know
okay.
that the temperature in deep space is 3 degrees Kelvin?
Did not know that.
Well, I guess that establishes our credibility right away.
And my brother knows because he spent a lot of time in deep space.
Okay, so you got the other problem. You got too hot, not too cold.
Yes.
Okay. What's happening? What's going on, and what have you done?
And why did you do it without calling us first?
Okay, 6 weeks ago, the car overheated, and it turns out I replaced the water pump. The water pump had seized.
That'll do it.
Wait a minute now. You said you replaced the water pump, you personally?
I personally did it and replaced the thermostat at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Good.
And you refilled it with coolant?
Yes, I did that. And I drive it about a half hour, and it overheats again. So I thought, maybe I got a bad thermostat. So I replaced that again.
Mm.
But it does the same thing. I can drive about a half hour on the freeway, and it starts boiling over, and the temperature gauge pegs.
Does the fan work?
Fans do work.
The cooling fans?
Yes, they do.
And have you looked in the radiator lately?
In fact, yes, because I eventually pulled it out and put a new one in.
You pulled out
a bunch of things.
You pulled out the radiator?
Because just before it overheats, I'll turn the heater on if I see the temperature gauge peg.
Yeah.
And there's no hot air blowing out of the heater. However, prior to that, it is.
Ha! Yeah.
Ha!
Yeah. Yeah, we knew this.
I was just clearing my throat. I think what you failed to do was to purge the system of air. When you put the thermostat in or the water pump and you fill the thing with coolant, if you run the engine,
right,
you will begin to notice that the coolant is getting hot.
Yes.
But it's only the top hose that's getting hot. And the bottom hose isn't getting hot enough and isn't getting all the air out. You've got air trapped all over the engine.
Okay.
And probably in the heater core, too.
How can I get it out?
Tip the car on its bumper. Well, the only way you can get...
There's got to be air.
Either there's air in it or you have a blown head gasket. But let's not assume the worst.
No. Let's not make a big deal out of this. There's air in it.
He's already made a big deal out of it.
Well, that's
radiator.
Why I didn't want to tell him. there's air in it.
Okay.
I mean, the only way you're going to get the air out completely is to run the engine, and while it's running, you're going to run the heater,
Yes,
and you're going to be vigilant. You're going to watch for the escape of air bubbles, and my guess is there are going to be a lot of them. And as the level goes down, you're going to verify that the heater's still working. You've got plenty of heat.
Yeah.
That the heater hoses are hot, the radiator hoses are hot. And when you're satisfied that there are no more bubbles coming up, and you'll do it right at the radiator cap.
Yes.
And I'm going to predict you're going to add another half a gallon of coolant to this thing.
Okay, I believe I've done that, but I'll definitely give it a shot.
See, the thing is, that if this is not it, we don't have any other ideas.
Except the blown head gasket.
And what do I need to do for that?
You don't really want to know.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
I like the air in the system.
Yeah, go on that.
I like air in the system.
Work on that theory.
Good luck, man. Let's go with that.
Great. Really appreciate that.
Hey, and you've done a great job, by the way. Good for you, man.
Thanks very much. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. My name's Linda Weaselquist, and I'm calling from Seattle.
Linda!
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
I must say, however, that I am originally from Westford, Massachusetts.
Westford.
No kidding.
Yes.
So how long have you been in Seattle, Linda?
Oh, about 2.5 years now.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's kind of damp.
Are you involved in the high-tech business?
Actually, I'm not. I'm involved in the consulting business.
Ah, low-tech.
Yeah.
Is that why you moved to Seattle, like to get a different job?
Well, the job market's pretty good here, you know, so I kind of figured, hey, I'll move here. I graduated from college and decided to have a little adventure.
Where did you graduate from college?
Cornell? Yeah, upstate New York.
Far above Cayuga's water.
There's an awful smell.
I don't think that's the version that they
that they call Cornell. Yeah, so what are you calling us for, Linda? You got nothing better to do?
Well, I have...
And are you billing it to a client?
Yeah. My Swedish client. I have a Volvo problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speak to us.
I have a 1970 Volvo 144S.
The consulting business went good.
With 259,000 miles on it.
Excellent.
Anyway, so about a week ago, my husband Charles walks in and says, "I fixed the Volvo again. Let's go for a ride."
Again.
All right, let's go get a hot fudge sundae.
So I walk outside, and my jaw hits the ground because he's really hit the Volvo. I mean, he's really done it this time.
Yeah.
He cut the top off of the car. I've got a chopped top Volvo.
No kidding. He made it into a convertible?
Yeah.
Well not really a convertible. More like a dump truck, right?
Yeah, not convertible to anything.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
So he chopped it right off, including the rear window.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Took the rear window right out.
Uh-huh. It's just sitting in
cut off the B pillars.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
This is cool.
Of course, I love it. Just like, you know, of course I wanted to get rid of the car forever, so I'm just, you know, oh man.
Well, you're well on your way to getting rid of it forever. This is a good start.
Well,
one or two more weekends and it ought to be acceptable for the trash compactor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my question, and it's become somewhat of a marital debate.
The answer is you're right.
You're absolutely right. It is not safe anymore.
Are you serious? Yeah, that's exactly my question.
Of course it is.
Because, you know, I mean, they reinforce convertibles and stuff, and this is not meant to be a convertible, right?
Exactly right.
It doesn't mean it can't be made safer.
Okay, well how?
Here's what he's got to do.
Put a roll bar on it or something?
He's got to go. He's got to go down to the local steel shop.
The mill. Go right to the mill.
The mill. And he's got to buy a 4-foot bar, eye bar, and weld it right behind the front seats, right across the back, from side to side, and that'll hold the back end together.
Oh, man. Now he's going to want to keep it forever.
And then you're going to buy 2 football helmets. Oh, man, I would love to see. Hey, can you send us a picture?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Oh.
But you're absolutely right. It is unsafe, and it could be made safe by putting welding a roll cage in.
Okay.
Or the I-beam is good.
Okay.
I think the I-beam is good.
Yeah, look around for some construction sites. Maybe you can steal one.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Hey, Linda, good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
And don't drive like my brother, or don't drive like anyone's brother in this thing.
Don't drive with your husband, especially.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Okay. It's creative, though, isn't it? It's creative.
It is indeed. You know, I've always wanted the fun involved in just lopping off the top.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
I want to do it.
I love it. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jeff.
Jeff, where are you calling from?
Clovis, New Mexico.
Clovis?
Yeah.
Yes. Never been there?
No.
No, I've been to a lot of places in New Mexico, but never Clovis.
Well, neither have I. I just moved here, so I've got a technical problem.
What corner of the state is it in?
It's way to the east. It's not far from Lubbock, Texas.
Ah, home of my favorite person.
Oh, you're near Portales.
Yeah, near Portales.
Sure.
Very good.
Yeah. So what's up, Jeff?
Well, I got a technical problem. I just left New Orleans, the New Orleans area, which, you know, is like below sea level.
Yeah.
And I moved over here, and we're like at 4,600 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this has resulted in, you know, a really serious dilemma for me.
What's that?
Well, I've got a 1994 West Bend homestyle bread maker, and I was going to call that Martha Woman, but I've had such bad press on her, I was afraid she might yell at me. I thought you guys might be able to help me out.
Oh, you're trying to figure out how to change the recipe.
Well, the darn thing keeps falling on me. I mean, I've made some bread that you could play hockey with.
Sure. That would happen.
Yeah, and it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean,
because when you get up at those high levels, the pressure, of course, actually, that shouldn't happen.
Well,
should be the opposite.
You got to reduce your baking time.
Reduce the baking time?
Oh, I think so.
It's a bread machine. How do you do that?
Well, you unplug it.
this is a machine in which you just dump all the ingredients and everything happens inside.
It's great. It's a bachelor's dream, I tell you. You got guys calling about, you know, what kind of car they should get to impress the women.
Yeah.
Get a bread machine.
I was thinking bread machines would do the same thing, and it'd be a lot cheaper.
Oh, women love guys who cook.
Well, you know,
Women love more the guys that clean up after they cook.
There's nothing to clean up. You just leave the stuff in there for the next time.
That's why it comes out like hockey pucks.
So the bread has been collapsing?
Oh, horribly, yes.
Well, but that doesn't make sense, does it?
No, I would suspect either not enough yeast or too much yeast.
Yeah,
yeast is one of the ingredients, is it not?
That's right.
Sure. But, I mean, I would suspect that you put in the same amount of yeast that you've been using in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So it rises.
Yeah.
Ah, but the pressure at 4,600 feet is considerably less than the pressure at sea level. So it's rising too much.
Yeah.
So you've got to put in less yeast. I would say, let's see, what's the ratio between 4,600
feet? Here's where you're going to get in trouble.
No. What is the pressure at 4,600 feet, barometric pressure? What do you figure? If we say it's 30 inches of mercury at sea level, let's say it's 28 inches. You're going to use...
Oh, here it comes.
I'm waiting for this.
It's this kind of thinking that has kept my brother out of most of the major universities in the country.
You have to use 14/15 of the yeast that you used before.
All right, so...
Let's just round that off to...
Half.
I would do a binary search.
Of course you have to do binary. You can't go with 14/15. You're not going to learn anything.
You're not going to
You got to go right
to
half.
Use half as much yeast. See what happens. If that doesn't work, then split the difference. Use 3/4.
Okay.
Yeah, you must have some home. You own a home there in Clovis?
Well, no, I'm renting.
You're renting?
Yes.
Well, you know, these are good in case you need, like, wheel chocks. You need to change a flat tire, you don't want the car to roll.
Well,
you pop one of these puppies under a tire. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about squandering a few packages of yeast.
Sure, it's nothing.
Yeah.
I would go to half. I would absolutely have the recipe.
Yeah, and I'm predicting that you will find when you get to 14/15, that's going to be the right answer. It's going to be just as good.
14/15.
Yeah, I think so.
But I would do a binary search, definitely, by using half and then 3/4 and then half.
So why did you move from New Orleans, which is certainly a happening place,
to the
desert of Clovis, New Mexico?
It must have had to do with babes, man.
It definitely have to do that. There's more cows out here than babes. So.
So it wasn't
babes. Was it a job?
Job primarily, yeah.
Job.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, oh, you work for the Army, huh?
No, I'm with the Air Force. I'm ex-Army. I've been there, did that.
CIA.
Been there, did that.
CIA.
Went from being an infantry officer to being a social worker, like total opposite ends of the spectrum. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Infantry officer. That's sort of like social work.
And now you're...
Hey, you moron!
Get in line! So now you're hung up on making bread. This is it, huh? That's so exciting in Clovis that your West Bend bread maker is keeping you. Now I'm sure,
with
the minutes after this airs, We will get calls from the West Bend Company referring you to page 22B of the owner's manual.
Probably referring you to page 14 out of a 15-page manual.
Right.
14-15. That's where you came up with that.
That number keeps scrubbing.
Which will give you explicit, will give you a formula for determining what the mix should be based on the altitude.
Yeah. Well, I'd appreciate that.
Well, they'll have it, and they'll send it to us, and we'll send it right to you, Jeff.
Well, I hope to hear that. I hope they're paying attention. Yeah.
Good luck.
And good luck.
Thanks a lot.
And remember, you can never have too many wheel chocks.
or being out in Clovis.
The West Bend Babe Magnet.
That's it. Look out.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Doesn't anyone screen the calls? What the hell goes on?
West Bend Breadmaker.
Does it have wheels on it? Wow.
Okay, look, it's time, Tommy, for your favorite part of the show.
Nap time?
No, only Morning Edition gets that. It's time to help you remember last week's puzzler.
Oh.
Here's your first hint. Early in your courtship, when you would stare off into space, your wife would offer you a blank for your thoughts.
She would offer me anything to keep my thoughts to myself. That's what the truth is.
No, a penny.
To this day, she still says the same. I don't want to know what you're thinking.
Okay, that was an easy one. It was a penny. I know you didn't get it, but that's all right. Here's the next one. The mature way to deal with your mistakes is to blank.
Deny. Deny everything and continue to deny everything.
Actually, I was hoping you would say face up. The puzzle is about some pennies.
Face up, yes.
Lying face up, and we'll have the answer in just a minute.
She always laughs about the cars she used to drive. Pretends they're older than they were. She never crashed them, so to this day they survive. And she reclines upon her fur.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Yeah. This is from my coin series.
I'm dying to hear the answer to this.
Here it is.
I'm dying to hear the question for that.
You're sitting at a table and you're blindfolded and you're wearing mittens.
Yeah.
On the table is a bunch of pennies. You don't know how many pennies. It's unimportant. Okay? But I did tell you a certain number of them is facing heads up. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 10.
Okay, so you tell me there's a bunch of pennies in front of you, and 10 of them are heads up.
Now, with your mittens on, you can move the pennies around. You know, you're blindfolded and you're wearing mittens. You can move the pennies around. You can pick them up. You can put them down again. You can listen to them. You can shake them. You can do whatever you want. See if Abe Lincoln talks to you.
Yeah.
And the question is it possible to separate those pennies into two groups so that each group has the same number of pennies facing heads up?
I got it.
Okay.
All right.
Now, the reason you're wearing mittens is that you can't feel the,
yeah.
You know, if we could trust you, we wouldn't have
you. Trust me.
Well, I don't trust you. You're wearing the mittens.
Yeah.
Well, here's how you do it.
Yeah, go ahead. I can hardly wait.
I'm going to tell you, like I said, you don't know how many coins are on the table. What I'm going to tell you, there are 10 coins facing heads up.
Mm-hmm.
From that big group, take 10 coins.
I can slide them over. I can do that.
So now you have in front of you a little group of 10 coins.
Got them right here.
And the larger group, okay,
right.
Off somewhere on the rest of the
and
table.
Some of the heads could be in my little group and some not.
That's right. Now, I always like using limit theory when solving this kind of a problem.
Ahead.
What if you had, by luck, chosen all tails?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where would all the heads be?
In the other pile.
Okay. They would be in the other pile. So how would you make the two piles show the same number?
I would flip over every single one that I just had, except I can't do it because I got stupid mittens on.
But for this part, once you've gotten to this point, we'll allow you to remove the mittens.
Okay.
And it turns out that no matter what number of heads you manage to cull out of that bigger group, you're going to flip over all your coins, because it turns out that the number of tails that you pull out always equals the number of heads remaining in the larger group.
Say that again? The number of...
Well, let's say, for example, that you pull out your 10 coins, 9 of them are tails, and 1 of them's a head.
Right.
How many heads are left in the big group?
9.
9. Let's say it's 8 and 2. How many heads are left in the big
8.
Group? 8. How many tails do you have?
2.
No, 8. And when you
tails?
Flip those, when you flip those 8 tails over, you have 8 heads in your group and 8 heads.
So the way you do it is you take out 10 coins.
Or whatever number of coins you're told are facing heads
right,
up.
Right, and in this case it's 10. And I flip those over.
And you're done.
And I'm done.
Pretty good, huh?
Wow. That's very good.
Do we have a winner?
You bet we do. William Innes from Missoula, Montana. And for
by the way, this only works if it's two.
It's only working if it's a two-sided coin. Three-sided coins, it wouldn't work.
No.
The winner this week is William Innes from Missoula, Montana, and for having his correct answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got this week, William is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which, I might add, he can get our father's CD collection, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. And if you order it now, William, we guarantee you'll have it in time for Father's Day. If not this year's Father's Day, definitely next year's Father's
Indeed.
Day.
Indeed. Anyway, we'll have a new, I guess you'd have to call it automotive or semi-automotive puzzler coming up in the third half
quasi
of the show.
Quasi-automotive it is. It's quasi.
Yes, master. Yes, master. So don't touch that dial. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gary in Louisville.
Gary in Louisville.
Louisville.
Well, Louis in Garyville.
So, Gary, get past it, man.
Well, I've got a 92 Isuzu Rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
6 months ago, I was living in Baltimore, and I took it in for a regular checkup. And they said they noticed a problem with it, checked it out, and said that the valve on the third cylinder was burned, and it needed a valve job. And they said it would run about $800. And I said, well, do I have to do this right away? And they said, no, it won't hurt anything to keep driving it for a while. And next month I'm planning to go on a 12 to 1300 mile trip to northern Nebraska, and I'm wondering if it's okay to drive this. Now, I called my local dealer here and explained the situation, and he said, get it fixed as soon as possible. It could spread to other cylinders.
Oh, it's like a contagion.
I guess so.
Oh, yeah.
So. Don't you love it?
Well, he's right in a sense.
Yeah.
Although he didn't use...
His terminology is interesting.
Yes, he didn't use the right terminology.
Uh-huh.
It can't spread to other cylinders, but because you have a cylinder that isn't contributing
right.
to the overall power of the engine...
Yeah. It ain't good to keep
you're
driving.
Making the other cylinders work harder. This is a V6, this is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a V6.
Did he say how badly it was burned? Did he give you any compression numbers?
Yeah...
Give us
it
some
was,
numbers.
I don't remember the specific numbers, but it was about half what it should have been.
Half?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. But does it seem to run roughly at idle?
When I'm at a light or something, it's bouncing up and down.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. Nah, I wouldn't drive any 1,200 miles with it.
No.
Get it done.
When are you planning to leave?
About a month.
That'll give enough time.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like a vacation you're going on?
Yeah, it's a star party. Gathering of amateur astronomers.
So you're gonna drag your Dobsonian out there and
you
look
bet.
At the heavens?
Yeah.
What's a Dobsonian?
None of your damn business.
This man knows his telescope.
Yes, he does.
Geez, well, have fun.
Yeah, it should be.
Good luck, Gary.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. You know what it's time for now?
Time to start working on our commencement speech.
No, it's too early for that. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! All right, Stump the Chumps is our meager version of Quality Control, where we bring back a previous caller to see what actually happened with our advice.
And this gives our legal team severe heartburn. So who's this week's contestant?
It's Anne from Georgia, whom I don't remember.
No, I don't either.
But here's what it says on the little sheet. Anne called us a few weeks back. Apparently, she encountered problems with her minivan while transporting her husband.
This was the guy that had the reversal of fortune, so to speak.
The reversal of fortune. All right, I remember that.
What the deal is about ago, my husband had his vasectomy reversed down in Tampa, Florida. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we had to drive back home.
You sure you called the right show?
This is car talk. Are you with us on this?
Okay, yep. Well, go ahead. It's your nickel.
Okay. Was there a lot of pain associated with this?
Yes, there was.
Well,
yeah.
Tell him to take 2 aspirin and call us back in the morning.
By the way, are we covered for medical malpractice as well as automotive malpractice?
I hope so. Anyway, my notes here say that while Ann was screaming along at 80 or 90 miles an hour with her husband screaming along in the back of the van, she started hearing some kind of terrible noise.
Oh, no, don't make me scream.
No. It wasn't her husband. It was a grinding noise. Anyway, after the trip, Ann would get the noise whenever she started the car. So she called us up, played us the tape. We listened and told her it was definitely a problem with her starter and that she should have it replaced, and it was a piece of cake.
Mm, don't bet on it. Ann, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I've had second thoughts about this, but that's okay. Ann,
all right, but before you give us your answer or your report on your husband's condition, we have to make sure that you've not been offered any cash or prizes by the staff or the Florida Association of Urologists or anybody in exchange for a favorable response to our question. Is this true?
Well, that check that came in the mail, I shouldn't tell you about that.
No, we don't want to hear about that.
So go ahead.
No, I did not get a check.
All right.
Okay. Actually, you guys were wrong.
Wrong?
I mean, didn't you play a little tape for us?
Not again.
You played a tape.
Do you have the tape?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it again. See if we were all wet.
Remember?
Sounds like a toilet flushing.
See, as I remember, I don't want to cast blame here.
Uh-huh.
But as I remember, I think if we go back over the documentation.
Well, I
didn't like this answer.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on here.
That noise,
I just realized I
want to be divorced from this man.
I just realized that I didn't hear all the whole problem because the noise started when she was moving, when she was driving from Florida to Georgia.
No, it didn't. It only started after that.
It started after that. Oh, and only when you start the car, right?
Wait a minute.
When the engine was cold.
I mean, it could be something like a bad water pump or an alternator.
No.
Making this noise even.
How many guesses do you want to throw in here?
It could be a fuel pump. Fuel pump relay. Bad headlamp relay. It could
choke pull off.
I have no
idea. All right, we give up. I don't know what that noise is.
It was the T-belt, the tensioner, and the idler pulley.
I was just about to say that. So then you did hear the noise while you were moving.
No.
While the engine was running, you heard the noise.
Every once in a while when we were idling, it would just make a real slight noise. But only when it was cold would it make that loud noise.
It hasn't made the noise since they replaced what?
The timing belt and the tensioner.
The T-belt, the tensioner, and the idler pulley.
Yeah. What you were hearing was the bearings were gone on these things.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the moaning you were hearing.
Yep.
And if your husband wasn't making so much noise in the back of the van, you would have heard this all the way from Florida.
I mean, I would like to just point out in defense of our answer, even though I didn't like it in the first place, the starter is only a foot and a half away from all these pieces.
Right.
Right, that's true. I mean,
so we weren't that far wrong, you might say.
No, we really weren't.
Yeah,
no,
of course
no.
We could have said anything, and everything's about a foot and a half away.
Well. All right. Well, we failed miserably, and Ann, we want to thank you for being a good contestant.
Oh, no problem.
And how's your hubby?
He's doing great. No pregnancy yet, but that's okay.
But is the moaning stopped?
Oh, yes, and he's all healed up and doing fine.
Oh, that's great.
Great. Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Ann.
Thanks for having the show.
Bye-bye.
So long. Bye-bye.
Boy, I mean,
wrong
with all
again.
Those guesses, I mean, I start a motor, alternator, water pump.
Well, we did have it wrong. You're absolutely right that we missed the fact that she said she heard noises while she was moving.
Yeah, well, then she denied that, too.
And she denied that.
Yeah, I think she was put up to this. I don't think there's anything. I don't think she even has a husband. If you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. I mean, his vasectomy. I mean, come on. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Bruce in New York City.
Hi, Bruce.
How you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
Not bad.
Great.
Good.
Hey, I have a paranormal car problem.
Yes.
I inherited a car when my father passed away. It's a 1993 Chrysler Concord. Mm-hmm. And I'm in New York City, so I don't own a car. I never had a car before, and there's nothing to really do with a car. So the only thing I could think of to do was to go visit the cemetery and pay my respects and thank him for the car. So I took my 10-year-old daughter, Juliana, with me, and we drove out to Long Island to the cemetery. And when it was time to leave, the battery was just dead. And
like everything else there.
Right. So I needed a jump, and just as an aside, I don't know if you ever tried to get a jump in a graveyard, but it's actually pretty hard. Like, you know, excuse me, ma'am, I'm terribly sorry for your loss. But
can you give me a jump strap?
But do you have jumper cables in your trunk?
So I found the guy who was relatively composed, and he was alone, so I asked him if he can give me a jump, and $10 later he said sure.
He charged you?
Yes, it's New York still, remember?
Oh, yes, New York, I'm sorry.
Okay, now here's the problem. I'm driving home, we leave the cemetery, and all of a sudden I hear a horn blaring at me, and I look around and there's no one there. It's me, it's my horn, and it's not stopping. And then all of a sudden, the locks just start going up and down all on their own. So I pull over, I turn off the car, I stop it.
Uh-oh.
The horn is still going off, but then the trunk popped open.
Great.
Really?
Really.
Wow, this is the ghost of Dad.
Yeah, so...
Were you on good terms when your father passed away?
I was his favorite. I was absolutely his favorite.
I think he's getting even with something.
You think so?
Well, it could be.
So, anyway, so what happens now is I park my car in a garage, and the garage attendants are a little bit afraid of the car because the horn just goes off on its own until it blows out. The locks go up and down. And I thought of a solution for the trunk was I bought a roll of duct tape and a cinder block. But finally, the battery was draining because whenever the trunk would pop open, the light would go on, and then I'd get my car, and there'd be no battery. So finally, the garage attendant, he unplugged something in the back of the trunk so the trunk won't pop open anymore, but I still have the horn and the locks going on, and then I can't use the electric trunk. So I guess my question to you is, do I need an exorcist or a mechanic?
Oh, both.
Man, that's great.
Yeah, no, this is...
I especially like the locks going up and down, don't you?
Constantly.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
And that day when it first happened and you pulled over to the side of the road and shut off the engine, it started right up again.
Oh, the car starts fine, yeah.
Where did your father live?
On Long Island.
Was the car ever in a flood of any kind or high water?
No. Hmm.
Would you like it to be?
Very much.
Well, here's what I mean. I don't know where the controller is located for all this stuff. That is the relays.
Uh-huh.
But my guess is that somehow water has gotten into the relays that control the power door locks and the trunk releases. All that stuff is operated electrically. There's actually a little solenoid that operates the door locks.
Uh-huh.
What you should do in the short term, at the very least, is instead of taping down the trunk or removing things like that, you should just remove the positive the negative terminal from the battery.
Uh-huh.
And that's easy enough to do. It takes a few seconds, and that will absolutely kill everything. It will prevent all these things from happening, and more than that, it'll prevent the battery from dying.
Uh-huh.
So when you want to use the car, which I suspect is infrequently,
right,
you can just hook the battery up, and the horn may start blowing, but it may not. But you could. I would say that your best bet here is to take it to an electrical shop,
mm-hmm,
and have them first look at the relays. And I would bet you that all those relays are affected somehow by the same thing. When you fix one problem, you're going to fix them all.
Okay.
I love it.
I love it, too.
Man.
Yeah, I love it, too. And you can't sell the car now.
Oh, no. Of course not. Well... The exorcist idea might take care of it.
I could donate it.
No, you can't.
Who are you
going
to donate it to? No one's going to take it.
No, especially when you tell them what happened to it.
There has to be some kind of nonprofit astrological society.
Good luck,
Bruce.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Man, there are some strange things that happen.
There are indeed.
That was strange.
Hey, look, it's time for us to take a little break.
This is so our wonderful local stations can give out important information to our listeners.
No. This is so teenagers out there have a minute to reprogram their parents' presets and escape the rest of the show.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
It's got a single stock Chrysler, four and a six. It's got the GMC blower with a high rev kit. I got a big bucket tea. It's the fastest thing in town.
that just can't be beat. I got a pig bucket tea. It's the hottest thing in town. Well, look out, buddy. I'm gonna shut your little car down.
And even though hyenas complain we give laughing a bad name whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And this came right out of cyberspace from a guy named Michael Lydon. And I don't know where he's from.
No one knows.
And he says, I heard an encore show, and da-da-da. I figured you guys are in bad shape for Puzzlers. It sounds so pathetic. And, all, you know, the usual drivel. Anyway, he goes on to say, I cut my mechanic's teeth, so to speak, as a pump jockey at a Sunoco station in the burbs of Cleveland. In other words, he pumped gasoline in the suburbs of Cleveland. And he says in parentheses, that's the one hint you get.
Oh.
And we had a guy who helped out holding wrenches, catching oil spills, holding up cars, and his name was Harley. Strong as an ox and twice as smart, we said.
Yeah, I like it.
One day a friend came in with a Chevy 350 engine that he had picked up at a junkyard, and he was going to rebuild it. He wanted some pointers, what to do and how to go about the tear down and all that. And after some pointers, he asked one question. How do I get the engine to rotate in the other direction?
Hmm.
Harley was stumped, as you might expect. Strong as an oxen
twice as smart.
So we goofed around with him, told him that maybe he had installed the transmission in backwards and all that, and that's why he wanted the engine to run backwards. But the question remained, why would you want to rebuild an engine so that it ran backwards? That's the question. Harley couldn't answer it, but maybe you can. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or tape it to the bow of a wooden, ocean-ready, two-person expedition-level kayak with bow and stern bungee hatch system, molded memory foam seats and recessed cup holder, and paddle your way over to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us right now, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barbara.
Hi, how are you? Where are you from?
Sacramento, California.
I've heard of it.
Heard of it?
Yeah. So what's up, Barbara?
I have an 85 Oldsmobile, better known as the Grandmobile or the little green tank, wherever I happen to be.
What kind of Oldsmobile?
Delta 88, a big one, four-door.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Now,
Are you a grandma?
Pardon?
Are you a grandma?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got the right car.
Oh, you are.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah, everybody gives me a wide berth. Threw the keys on the dashboard.
Uh-huh.
The keys went down the holes in the dashboard.
Cool.
Very bad design problem there.
Yeah.
So I have a constant rattle.
Yeah.
Put the dental floss on a magnet that had a hole in it.
Good. But the keys were aluminum and nothing happened.
No. Oh, no, it did. I lost the magnet down there. So then a little time went by, got used to the noise, then got unused to the noise, did a fish hook.
Cool. This is like that song, I know an old lady who swallowed a fly.
Yeah,
I don't know why she swallowed
a
fly.
So now I have the keys,
the magnet, the fish hook.
The fish hook.
Really?
Is there any way I can retrieve that thing?
Well, how did you?
I thought of a bent nail, but I don't know if that'll work.
No, you've tried everything.
Okay.
Well, not everything.
Well, short of having a $250 bill at the auto agency, they told me at the car agency that they had so much trouble with that. People had lost diamond earrings, bridges from dental work.
You just take out your teeth and throw them on the dashboard.
Oh, no, it happens. You sneeze. Your teeth come flying out, and they go right down the hatch.
Right down the hatch is right.
So to speak.
Well, I remember years ago, this has nothing to do with your problem, but it was almost as funny. A customer came to the garage complaining of a noise in her car, and she handed me the keys and asked that we go for a test drive. And I got in the driver's side, opened the door with the key, and I leaned over to open the door for her, the gentleman that I am.
Yeah.
And I even not only unlocked the door, but I even opened the handle and pushed the door open.
I remember
open.
This well.
And as I did it, the keys, which were on my fingers, slid off, bounced on the sill, and agonizingly slowly fell into the sewer, which was right below where she was parked. And
of course.
We both stood there for a moment, and then we laughed like hell. They junked her car. He never got those keys out. But, I mean, they want hundreds of dollars to do this? They couldn't possibly.
Well, they've got to remove the whole dashboard.
I don't think so. I think they can get at this from underneath. I can see that you're desperate and you're ready to pay the $250. However,
I wouldn't.
You have nothing to lose by trying everything else, including maybe training a hamster to go down there. I mean, why not?
Sure.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah, I mean, you
well,
can
I thought the hook was pretty original.
Well, you have made it a little perilous to send anything living down there because of the presence of the fish hook.
If I could train a mouse.
But if you think it's bad now having the noise, Barbara,
yeah.
Imagine the smell of a dead mouse down there.
Oh, I have that. I just got rid of one.
Yeah, but it'd be worse.
That's bad. Is this place a dealership, the one you brought the car to?
Yeah.
The
agency.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to deal with them.
No,
this is not something for the agency.
Yeah.
This is something for Joe down the street.
Oh, all right.
I think so.
I mean, we're not talking rocket science here.
No, but they all think they are.
Yeah,
or
I know.
Surgeon.
Yeah, I mean, they have this inflated view of what they do.
Don't forget, they may be able to cut into the... If this were my car, if I could find a place to cut into the ductwork and then seal it up with duct tape afterwards.
Oh, what better use?
The appropriate use, I might add.
Duct tape.
So there may be some creative way to do this, and the dealer only knows the book way. And furthermore,
exactly.
The book way is the highest price way, so why would they want to do it any other way? I would shop it around. But before you do that, I would try sticking a bigger magnet in there.
Okay.
Tied to a gerbil.
Oh, and I just have a lot of those crawling around here.
Good.
Good luck, Barbara. You're going to need it. And put a piece of screen over that or something, will you?
Oh, right, right. Well, you know, you learn once and then you get a bigger keychain.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. There you go.
In case you have a faint blackout when you want to toss your keys up there sometime.
See you, Barbara. Good luck.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Alexandria, Virginia.
Hey, Josh. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just avoiding the cicadas whenever possible.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, it's all out, huh?
It's a big... Oh, they're going to be out for weeks more, right?
Yeah, I think it's like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that.
Oh, man.
Kind of just put myself on hibernation for that time, so...
Yeah.
And it's really pretty tough to get around without bumping into them, huh?
Pretty... Right when you open your front door, you're going to bump into them, so...
Wow.
But they don't bite or hurt you or infect or anything.
I don't think they do much of anything, to be honest with you.
Well, they're doing one thing.
Well,
they make noise.
Exactly.
And they're making new cicadas.
And lots of them.
Yeah. Anyway, what's going on?
Well, I've got a 1988 Honda Accord, and for about the past month or so, you know, whether I've gone like 10 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour, whenever I touch the brakes, the entire front end of my car shakes pretty violently.
Oh.
And I don't like to put that much money into my car, but, you know, over the past week, I've got a CD player in my car, and the CD has even started to skip whenever I hit the brakes. So I figured it's kind of serious enough that I should probably get it taken look.
Well, first of all, anytime you have vibration in the suspension or in the steering,
okay,
like in the front wheels, don't hesitate. Have it looked at right away, because that's dangerous stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, you could have a warped disc.
Which is what it sounds like.
Talk about the rotors?
Yeah, the disc
rotors. Okay. Yeah.
And that wouldn't be life-threatening.
Okay.
However, you could have, on a car this age, and these cars are famous for having ball joints wear out.
That's the hot part.
Or a tie rod end that's bad, and either of those could cause shaking and oscillation of the steering wheel. And
whatnot, wheels falling off.
And skipping of the CD player.
Okay.
And those two things can cause one of the wheels to fall off.
Okay.
You know, so while the warped disc rotors might not cause you to die, the broken ball joint or tie rod end could make you die.
That's not good.
No, yeah. You don't want to die.
So, I mean, before you go driving 75 miles
You don't
miles
want the
again.
Cicadas to win, man. You've got to outlast them.
That's right.
At least another few weeks.
Yeah, don't drive at 75 miles an hour. Don't even drive at 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
Until you have it looked at.
Okay. Well, I guess I better take care of that pretty soon.
I would do it today.
Okay.
See,
seriously.
Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your
okay.
call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Barbara in Memphis.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, it's a marital problem, and my husband and I are going to have to start driving in separate cars every place we go.
Is it gas?
Gas! How did you know?
Is it in the car or him?
Well, it's him.
It's him.
He's using a lot of oxygen trying to explain my faulty reasoning to me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
We thought it was something else.
No. We won't get into that.
No.
He and I have this continuing discussion / argument about the fuel tank, and he is of the Tupperware theory that you have to burp the car tank.
Oh, another burper.
Have you heard of this?
Yeah, we heard of it, yes.
Whenever we go someplace, he's nice enough to fill the tank up, but he starts bouncing the car up and down.
Yeah. I guess we have had, first of all, several calls on this item.
Letters, emails, you name
email,
it.
Email, letters. We've even responded to it in our newspaper column at least once, maybe twice, and yet it persists.
And hasn't he been clued in by the fact that he's the only one that he's ever seen do this?
Well, if it's evidently not, otherwise we wouldn't have gotten all this correspondence about it.
No, he's never seen anyone else do it. When you go to the gas station, there may be three or four other cars filling up. Isn't he the only one that's doing
right,
the burping?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, but there's a certain kind of arcania to this, you know. If you're the only one doing it, you have the feeling
that you're special.
That you're special.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to know something that nobody else knows about. So you're saying, little do they know about burping, but I'm doing it because I...
And I'm sure he's rather closed-mouthed about it. If someone were to ask him, he'd say, oh, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Right. He's getting sneakier about it. I think he just bounces it quickly now. He doesn't really want me to notice.
Yeah.
What
does he claim is the benefit of it?
I think he believes this man's really bright. He's smart. He's a PhD person, but somehow he thinks that this is going to get the air bubbles out, and he can get more gasoline in the tank.
And the car won't be colicky at night.
My car isn't colicky anyway.
What is his PhD in? Art history?
Oh, no, psychology.
Oh, yeah. He's a real wacko. Professional wacko.
Right. There you go.
Well, yeah. Well, while he may be right about burping it to get air bubbles out and filling the tank up to the tippity top, it is not recommended that you do that to modern cars because all modern cars have an evaporative emission control system that prevents vapors.
That's right, that little flap thing.
Well, no, that's
no,
not
it
that.
Isn't the flap
There's
thing.
A charcoal canister that absorbs vapors from the gas tank as the gasoline in the tank begins to expand and vaporize, in fact.
See, in the old days, I mean, before we were so into the environment, gasoline obviously evaporates, and when it evaporated, it would simply come out through the gas tank and go into the atmosphere.
There'd be a pinhole in the gas, in the filler cap.
Oh.
You may have even seen cars of yesteryear that would actually spew a little stream of gas. Had they been filled up and then parked in the sun right after that, there'd be so much gas in the tank that it would spill out from this little vent hole.
But now that we're more environmentally conscious, what happens is that vapor, instead of being allowed to come out through the cap, is recirculated inside the tank, from the inside of the tank, up to the front of the car, where there is a charcoal canister. And so all those fumes get absorbed into this canister, which means that if he's filling this thing all the way to the tippity-tippity top, he could easily be damaging the canister.
Right, because what could happen is liquid gasoline, only vapors are supposed to flow into this canister, but if you fill it up to the tippity top, liquid gasoline could actually make its way up this tube into the canister and damage it, rendering it useless.
Yeah, so there's research to support
that. There is a body of evidence.
There is a body of evidence that the burper theory is all wet, if
Excellent.
You'll pardon the expression.
So tell him to knock it off.
Well, the other thing that he does, he'll run it till it's on absolute fumes.
Another moronic thing to do.
Doesn't he read the owner's manual?
Oh. Isn't that bad for the catalytic converter or something?
Well, Barbara, you're going to really have to lay it on. Wait, let's discuss this. Because, I mean, you're going to go back to him now. You have power, the power to go back to him and whack him down on two major technological items.
This may be a first.
Well, I mean, it may do irreparable harm to this man.
Well, I'm a social worker, so I think probably I can finesse this a little bit.
A touchy-feely person.
There you go.
Yes. I hate touchy-feely. Don't touch me. Well, we'll leave it up to you to figure out how to break the news to him.
Yeah.
But the primary reason you don't want to run the gas tank down to empty.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, you make the fuel pump wear out faster because the fuel that's in there serves actually as a coolant for the pump, which is immersed in the tank in most cars.
He'll relate to the facts and the figures.
He will.
Yeah, that's good.
We have it covered.
Well, tell him to knock it off.
Yeah, give him a dope slap.
Excellent.
He'll understand that from a psychological perspective.
I'll do that. Thanks.
See you, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Is the dope slap up on the website yet? Does anyone know? We are working on that. We are working on the...
The virtual dope slap.
The virtual dope slap. Right.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Jose Duck Pate, Shrimp Satay, Beef Filet, Hot Beignet, Peach Flambe, Chill Vouvre, and Warm Bengay Brunch Melee is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our lost luggage tracker is Lester Carey. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our Jeep driver is Jocelyn DeContents. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Hegel-quoting bartenders in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1321, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, get outfitted for summer.
Oh yeah, the Car Talk clothing that we sell is so threadbare that you wouldn't dare wear it in the winter.
That's the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though aging hippies remove their vegan cruelty-free sandals and pound their radios with them whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.